chapter 5. We'll be reading there in just a moment. Galatians chapter 5. You know, you ask yourself a question. Am I really? Yeah, you know, I've spent my life following God, and I'm trying to figure out what do I do next. And sometimes I think we go through this life and we make things a lot more difficult than it actually has to be. And I go to Galatians 5 here, and I really want to focus on something that we all really should be spending the majority of our time focusing on as well. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to spend the next 9 lessons talking about each individual's fruit of the Spirit. But it's important for us to recognize that this life, you know, you become part of the church, and you can often ask yourself, like, what do I do now? And we can make it more difficult than it needs to be. But I believe the fruit of the Spirit and our growth in those is all we have to do. And if you think about the growing in the fruit of the Spirit versus growing in things outside of it, if you grow in the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to get closer and closer to God every day. And that's really what I want us to focus on in these next 9 lessons. But let's go to look at Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22. It says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." And so today we're going to focus on that very first one, and it's the one that really starts it off, and that's love. And you know, even within the fruit of the Spirit, you kind of, I go back and think of a phrase that I just recently learned, that you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Isn't that true? And I think about the way that you'd want to live your life. Isn't it better to present honey to those around you versus vinegar? And if you do that, I think you're going to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. And when you connect all these fruits, it's simple as that. It really is. And it's growing in that. And I'm going to break down each of these 9 weeks, these 9 fruits of the Spirit, with our who, what, when, where, and why for each one of these. I'm going to kind of go and switch the order just a minute. And so the first question and the first one we have to ask ourselves, what is love? Like, what is it? You know, the earthly definition is a profound, selfless connection involving deep affection, empathy, and commitment, prioritizing another's well-being over your own. So it's focused on someone else. It's not you. It's someone else that you're focused on. And when we look at what is love and how it's defined in the Bible, there's a whole chapter that talks about it. And we're actually going to eventually conclude with the chapter. But before we do that, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let's just look at verse 4. It says, "Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, it is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That's what love is. And we're, you know, if you want to go through this life and wonder, how can I present love in the right way? It's this way. I mean, there's no other way to do it. And you can't go through this life without it. It's impossible. Because you take a step back for just a moment, and you're here. But you're not someone who presents love, and you're not someone that shows love to others. Well, what kind of person would that be? I don't know about you. I wouldn't want to be around that person. And I don't know about you, but if that's the type of person that is presented here every week, I would probably stop coming. And I would ask God, I was like, if this is your church, then I'm confused. It's like, why are we here and yet we're not presenting love to each other, love in a way that makes sense? And the Bible in itself talks about the importance of others. And, you know, to me, love, and to see this here, love focuses on the other person and not you. And that's what's important for us to recognize. And, you know, we're going to talk about who is love and when is love and where is love in just a moment. But the most important thing to recognize with it is it has to be sincere. And if we go to Romans 12. And in verse 9, I think it's the New King James that uses sincere here, but in verse 9 it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. So, you know, it's a true showing of your love, and it's not something that you can just fake. And if you keep reading through, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So it has to be sincere, but there has to be action behind it. You can't just say it and then your actions tell something different. And that's the difficult part, is trying to connect the actions with this feeling, because it's not easy. It can be difficult to do. Especially us as human beings. But I ask myself now, who is love? Well, you know, anyone could be the love, right? Anyone willing to be selfless, which means every one of us should be that. But I think without a doubt, the Bible tells us who love is. And, you know, if we go to John 3:16, and I know this is a verse that's so misused, but it's so important. It really is important for us to recognize who love is. John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that there's two entities right here that's love. First of all, it's God and giving his Son. And then it's also Jesus and his willingness. And we see throughout the Gospels that Jesus, you know, even though, you know, he needed comfort through prayer, he was still willing to go to that cross. And he was willing to do it not just for you and I, but also for the love of the Father. And without this taking place in this life, you know, you and I have no hope. You know, we would never be able to have an opportunity to go to heaven. It just would be impossible. And love is the reason that we have this opportunity. And while we're still in the Gospels, if you turn over to Luke 23, just go back a few pages in your Bible. And look at verse 33 and 34. It says, when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And so when I read that, I see a son here, I see a man here who has just given his life. And yet his love for us is forgiveness, because they're not recognizing what they're doing to him. And the willingness for what Jesus did for us, and then to understand that we are ignorant to what was happening at this time. We're not ignorant today. Now we have more of an understanding. But at this time, you know, the only thing Jesus was thinking about was forgiveness. That to me is love. And if you go to 1 John, the whole book of 1 John is absolutely about love. But who else is love? You go to 1 John. And actually, we can read the whole book of 1 John. starting in verse 15. It says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. But by this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he loved, first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. So we see here, going back to verse 16, that God is love. And the one who abides in God, with God, is also love. That's me and you. That is me and you. And then the connection here, and, you know, I've always, you may wonder, is like, why is this, it's brought up several times in 1 John about the love for your brother. You got to look, these in the first century, they all came from nations that hated each other. So you can imagine growing up and being told that you're supposed to hate this person. And yet now, this new law, this new understanding is, no, you need to love this person. And if you don't love this person, guess what? You don't love me. And that's what's different. It's a selfless act. And anyone can be loved. And we should all be loved because God is love. Then the next question becomes, when is love? Well, it's any time. When is love is all the time. But I just want to go back for a few verses in 1 John. In chapter 4. And it goes back to the action. It's action that shows when love is happening. Let's look at verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, nor God is love, for God is love. By this, the love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen him and testify that Father has sent the Son of the Son to be the Savior of the world. And then we can continue with what we just read. But the idea is that when is love? It's all the time. It's every day. And that's difficult. That is not easy to do because things can come up into your life. And you know, I'll be the first to say, that's just some people you just don't like. I mean, that's the fact. There's just people it's very difficult to like. And it's very difficult to want to be around. But you have to find the good in that person, and you have to present the good to that person, because you never know what presenting and doing good to that person will change and how that person will change. And the greatest lesson of all of this is what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And if we go to Matthew 5, we're going to read a few examples here. Jesus explained it perfectly. It's something new that they were not used to. In Matthew 5, first, let's just look at verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Remember how I mentioned at the beginning of this lesson about you catch more flies with honey. That's exactly what God is saying here. It's like, if you're a light, you're going to catch more people. You're going to be different. You're going to be presented different. You know, when you look at the law, and I actually want to go read verse 20. If you go down a few, it says, for I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And this will make more sense in just a moment. But when you look at presenting yourself in a way that shows love, it's different. and you present yourself differently, and it causes confusion to some people. It's like, how are you like this when I just, you know, threw something negative towards you? We're going to read that in just a moment. But verse 20 is the key to this. Love isn't written down on a sheet of paper. You know, what did the Pharisees know? They knew the law. They could take a sheet of paper and tell you what it said. Love isn't presented on a sheet of paper. You know, my mom can't say, here's a list of 100 things you have to do to show you love me. Okay, I do 100 lists. You mean I love her? No, because love isn't presented on words. It's not a presentation on a sheet of paper, and it's not a checkbox. And that's what Jesus is trying to say here, is that unless your love goes beyond what you read, it's more what you feel, it's what you connect, it's how you interact with others, it's how you make others feel around you, there's no way you can enter the kingdom of heaven. It's impossible. And 1 Corinthians, which we'll read again in a minute, specifically says all of that. That without love, there's literally nothing in this spiritual life that matters. Nothing. That's the reason why the fruit of the Spirit starts with love. It starts with it. It starts with it for a reason. Because if you have love, all the other spirits automatically come to you. But don't get the idea that loving God and Jesus is you're using a checkbox. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work. It's impossible. They tried it. The whole Old Testament was checking boxes. And guess what happened? They still killed Jesus. Even though their whole box said that Jesus Christ was coming. And yet, they still killed him. Let's go down to Matthew 5:38. It says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same?" This is the kicker of the whole. If you want to take a set of verses and figure out how do I become a perfected person, a mature person, this is the set of verses. Look at verse 48. "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Now, what makes your heavenly Father perfect? What makes you perfect? It's love. It's love that does it. And if you go back to 46, "For if you love those who love you," go back to 43, "I say to you, love your enemies." It's love. Love starts it all. Love perfects you. It's love that makes you a perfect person. And I don't want to just think that perfect means like we're sinless. I'm not saying that. But perfect means that you're ready to stand before God. Perfect means that you're mature enough to do it. But perfect also means that I'm built myself in a way that love is in the forefront. Because that's what God is for us. You know, who is love? It's God. God is love. And because of that, you and I should be as well. And then so that's when is love. Now the question is, where is love? Well, it's all around us. Love should be all around us, and it should be all in us. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and look at starting in verse 37. Actually, you know what? Go to 34, because this is the starting of the section. So, verse 34 says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets.'" Both of the commandments here, love. And it starts with, where is it at? It's in your heart, in your soul, in all your mind. But isn't it ironic that the law in itself starts with love? You answer, you get 8 through 10, and you obey 8 through 10 because of 1 and 2. You don't need 8 through 10. You don't need the other 10 commandments because 1 and 2 checks those boxes with how you're living your life. Because if you love God with all your heart and you love others with all your heart, mind, and soul, guess what you're going to do? You're not going to steal. You're not going to murder. You're not going to lie. You're not going to, you know, work on the Sabbath. Whatever the other, all the other commandments that are presented as part of the 10. But it starts with 1 and 2. It's love that starts it all. And then finally, and really concluding this lesson, is why do we need to love? Why? There is no other way to show that you belong to God, because without it, you don't. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 13, you know, we want to take things that we do and make that the exact, and I don't mean putting love to the side, but the things that we do from how we, the law and everything related to the words, and we focus on just the motions of it. But there are things related to the things that we do and what it needs to connect to. And Paul here explains this perfectly. Listen to what he says in verse 1. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." So I'm going to pause right there for a minute. You can do anything you want in this world. Anything that presents that you are a follower of God. But if behind the scenes you have no love, you have nothing. You don't have anything. You will not be able to move forward in the kingdom, heavenly kingdom. It's just not possible. And the reason why is because when you stand before someone and you don't present yourself in a way that shows you love them, that you love everyone, you're not going to be someone you can believe, even if you can do miracles. If I can do a miracle, but yet I hate these people over here, well, what good is that doing? That does no good. It's not, you shouldn't be worrying about doing miracles. You should be instead worrying about how do I love these people? How do I show my love to those people? And it's to everybody that's around you. And then you continue on in verse 4. We've read this earlier, but we'll continue down. It says, "Love is patient. Love is kind. And is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteous, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Verse 8. It says, "Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecies, they will be done away with. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now when we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part. But then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love." Now, I go back to this mirror, and, you know, this it uses the term for we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also been fully known. What is this fullness here? How do you fully know who you are as a person and as a Christian? It's love. That's why you have to love. Because without it, there's no way you can actually say that you're a Christian. It's just impossible. Because you can do all these things. You can do all these things that show you are. But if you don't love people, if you don't love others, if you don't love God, there's no way that you're a Christian in the eyes of God. It's just not possible. It is literally not possible. So as you're going through this week, take a step back and see, are you showing the love in the way that you should? Is there somebody around me that I don't want to use the term I don't like, because that's really not the term we should be using, but is there anybody in your life that you just aren't showing the love that you should? Change it. Present it differently. Show them, and even if it's apologies or it's something you need to do to change your actions, then do that. But I'd argue that you can stand up here and know all the words to this book. You can, we don't do miracles anymore. That was a first century thing, but you can present miracles. You can raise someone from the dead. But you know, raising someone from the dead and then hating that same person that's across the room, what did you accomplish? Accomplished nothing. Just say, hey, I raised this person from the dead. But how can I believe in you? You have hatred for everyone else that's around you. I'm not going to follow you. And that's the opposite of what God wants us to do. God wants us to be followed. And so by showing love, you can do that. And if there's anything that we can do to help get you closer to that, please do so together and as we stand and sing.